Next item on the agenda is item number 8, Bevan's Oyster Company and Cowart Seafood Corporation, Oyster Planting Ground Application 2017-136. Mr. Stagg, are you handling that, sir?
I am.
Proceed, please.
This is Ben Stagg, the Director of Shellfish Aquaculture Leasing and Mapping for the Engineering Surveying Department, for the record.
Mr. Stagg, yeah, Mr. Stagg, recognizing your voice, do you solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give in this matter will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you, ma'am. Mr. Stagg, please proceed.
Okay. Well, Bertram, good morning to all. So this is a oyster planting ground application in the name of Bevan's Oyster Company, Incorporated, and Cowart Seafood Corporation. Requesting to lease approximately 1 acre of ground in the Great Wicomico River in Northumberland County. The application has been protested by an adjacent highland property owner. Next slide. So again, it's located in Northumberland County in the Great Wicomico River. The arrow depicts the point of land where the protestant lives, and the application area is on the western side of that point. Next slide. A little closer view, this point is known as Rogue Point. Protestant, I believe, house is on the eastern side of the point. The application is on the western, starts at the tip of the point and goes along the shoreline on the western side. There is another application to the south that's not part of this current application. Next slide. This application was subjected to our normal public interest review. A few items to note about the application. This is the map that depicts the SAV areas in this location. There is some slight SAV in the most offshore portion of this application and a considerable amount in the existing lease that's already there. But we did view butting this up to the existing lease, which I'll discuss a little more in a moment. Have a minimal impact on SAV in this new application area. Again, here the application shown in red. You'll note a very narrow area that extends up to the point, wraps around the point slightly. We deleted some portions of that during survey, believing they were intertitled and not subtitled, but we did include a portion of that narrow area in the original survey. We did receive a protest from the property owner, Reverend Steinberg, and I'm going to read her letter into the record, just so it's on record. It is on page 21 in the packet. You received her letter in December of 2017, and her letter states, "Dear Mr. Stagg, I'm responding to your communication of November 28th concerning the application 2017-136 to the lease of 1 acre of grape on the Great Wicomico River for private oyster bass. As the owner of property within 200 feet, I wish to protest the application. I do notify a landowner within 200 feet. I'm concerned about the significant increase in the number of commercial operators and the scope of their beds in this very small area of the Great Wicomico. It is generally accepted that hand scrapes and dredges do indeed harm oyster beds, including reefs. In fact, James Wesson, former BMRC Chief of Oyster Conservation and Replenishment, has noted that, quote, motorized gear does have a detrimental effect. It's pretty clear that working the bottoms hurt. It does not help, unquote. That was from the Bay Journal, November 2016. I suspect that such harvesting, especially over-harvesting of immature oysters for relocation elsewhere, also has a negative impact on bottom culture. Has there been any study of the impact of high-volume gear operating harvesting on the blue crab population? By report of very long-time sports anglers, the specific area for which this application is applying has a large presence of juvenile striped bass. Could motorized bottom harvesting here be a threat to a species that only recently has made it back in the bay? While I have no scientific data, I offer my anecdotal observation that since the onset of so much harvesting by motor-powered hand scrapes in the immediate area, there has been a massive increase in the volume of broken glass, obviously quite aged and long buried, from an aerial and household trash was routinely thrown into the river, washing onto shoreline of my property. as well, and the inlet to a tidal pond has experienced increased silting, threatening the viability of the pond. While B following A might not always be, indicate cause and effect, I suspect there is some connection to these developments. I am not a foe of commercial fishing and slash oyster. However, I do believe there must be a healthy balance between appropriately regulated commercial activity and the environmental stability of our rivers and the entire Chesapeake Bay into which they flow. I have lived on this special shore of the Great Wicomico for over 50 years, and I am concerned that the health of this river be of the highest priority. For these reasons, I protest granting application 2017-136. At the time the evaluation was written, we had recontacted the protestant and indicated that we had removed the narrow section along the shoreline in a revised plat and are only proposing to lease the more rectangular, larger area along the western shore that's south of the point. We were hopes that maybe that would alleviate the protestant's concerns. She did respond over the weekend by email and indicated she still objects for the same reasons, resubmitted the letter I read into the record again and kind of reiterated those concerns in her email. Having said that, the applicant's agent, Mr. A.J. Erskine, did contact, reach out to Mr. Stralberg, and gave a more detailed explanation of the proposed uses of this lease and adjacent leases offshore. He also attempted to address her concerns in a letter he wrote to her after her protest. Next slide, please. Again, this is just a record of the protest we received from Ms. Stahlberg. Next slide. So I do want to note here that Bevan's Oyster Company does, and particularly we do have the three leases shown here in the circle. Subsequent plat, you'll see, will list the northern one as still in the name of Booth, but that was transferred to Bevan's at the beginning of this year, and that will be corrected on the final plat. That said, Mr. Erskine did say in his letter and in my conversations with Bevan's Oyster Company and Tired Seafood, they have indicated they'd like to combine these three leases together and include this new area if approved. We have not done the combination pending a hearing on this lease application to see if it's approved or not. So I will show you a plat in a second that will show just the area we're proposing as leasable for this application, but the final plat will likely reflect a merging of all these leases should you approve this additional area. Next slide. So again, this was the original survey after deleting a slight portion right at the point that we did not believe was subtitled. It did include those corners 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That narrow area, however, after talking to the applicant and listening to the applicant, the protestant's concerns, we decided to delete that area. Next slide. As you can see here, that area has been taken back out, and now the survey goes from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 back to 1, reducing the area from 0.57 acres to about 0.48 acres. Staff does understand the proposed leasing of areas immediately adjacent to upland properties often results in concerns raised by this landowner. Staff has attempted to address the protestant's concerns to the greatest extent possible by removing some of the areas originally requested. Additionally, staff is not aware of any scientific data that would support the suggestion that propagation and harvest of shellfish has an adverse impact on localized crab and fish population. Therefore, after reviewing the protestant's objections, considering all the factors in 28.2607 and 28.2105A of the Code of Virginia, we do recommend leasing 0.48 acres of grounds to Bevan's Oyster Company, Incorporated, and our institute. I'd be happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Stagg. Do any members of the commission have any questions of Mr. Stagg?
Yes, Chad Ballard does.
I have Ms. Everett and then Mr. Ballard. Ms. Everett.
Thank you. The 0.48 acres is that reflect area that originally proposed had the SAV in it, or how does that shake out in terms of the revised proposal?
So from corner 1 to 5, there is a slight encroachment of SAV towards the shore. It's fairly minimal. Most of the SAV here is on existing flatfile 1774. It's just offshore. While we don't encourage it, existing leases are allowed to dredge, even if there's SAV. We do try to avoid leasing new areas where there's SAV, but about 85% of this area being proposed does not have SAV.
Further questions, Ms.
Okay,
Edwards?
Thank you. No, I guess I just a small follow-up. What, I know you said it's probably only like 15%, but what is it? Is it widgeon, or curious if it's high quality or very minimal? Okay. Thank you. That's it for me. Appreciate it.
Well, my guess, it doesn't matter what it is at this location and that area where it's transitioning, where it won't grow, the quality is getting less valuable because it's probably the water depth just won't support it. It's too shallow, probably too hot.
Mr.
Ballard?
Thank you.
I guess I'm curious on the revising of the application and what the purpose of that specifically was, because it seems to me like the protestants' concerns were about the activity and the health of the river, not so much normal viewshed concerns, and I guess I was curious what purpose the revision actually served, and why that area was eliminated.
Mr. Stagg?
Sure. We discussed that with Mr. Erskine, who represents the two companies that applied. They were agreeable that my understanding was the reason they applied for this area, including that very narrow area, was to consolidate these leases and avoid someone else coming in and applying for this narrow area inside their lease, which they had some concerns about, might conflict with their use of the lease. So it was my understanding more of kind of a housekeeping, just take up the little area that was left. I don't think they were too concerned about that narrow area because it is so narrow, so shallow that it would probably be difficult to dredge it. That is what they're proposing to do on this lease and the off, and what they have been doing on the offshore leases historically. So they were amenable in hopes that that would help allay some of the concerns of the protestants. The protestants' house is on the other side of the property, but they do own, down to the water on both sides. So hopefully that answers the question. The further answer, these three leases that Devin's has and the two leases to the west and east that are in the name of Harding all have mandatory reporting of considerable amount of forced harvest of oysters over the last day.
Further questions, Mr. Ballard?
No, thank you.
Any other member of the commission have a question for Mr. Stagg? Okay, this is a public hearing. Does anyone wish to be heard in support of this? If you do, please use the chat box and indicate your desire to be heard. Seeing none, is there anyone in opposition? I have a Isabel Stileberg who has indicated through letter opposition. Ms. Stileberg, are you on?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Loud and clear. Please proceed.
I am of my original opinion on this, and I am not opposed to oyster harvesting and this new life that is the Great Wicomico is able to provide. I am just concerned about the concentration of it in a very small area from Barrett's Creek to Mila and Penny Creek. And that is my concern. I think there needs to be a healthy balance between the farming and sort of the natural state of the river. I am a little confused and wish you would explain to me further if Bevins and Cowart have dropped their original request. I can't quite get that from the plat and from your explanation.
Mr. Stagg, could you respond to that, please?
Yes. You go back on the slide presentation, maybe more slides, so that will help me explain. Keep going. That one will be fine. So, Ms. Dahlberg, the original application did start about at the bottom of that circle where you see Bevins & Oyster Company written out, and then went up the shoreline and did wrap around the shoreline slightly about to the corner of Platfall 17781. So that is the original area that they asked for. We did determine once you got to the point that it was not subtitled, and we eliminated that. We did include that some of that narrow strip along the western shore originally when we surveyed it. In conversations with the applicant and their agent, we felt that maybe perhaps it would be better to just eliminate that because it was so shallow. They agreed to that, but what was left is just that sort of rectangular area that you see in the plat. So go back to the plat, the final slide.
So, okay.
That was part of the area that you originally asked for.
Yes. That's less than what they originally asked for. So it doesn't really extend to the point.
Right. But now it won't extend all the way to the point. But they have an existing lease that comes very close to the point already.
Mm-hmm.
That's an already existing lease.
Okay. Well, I still make my point. If you, Mr. Stagg, and the members of your commission, I will leave it to you all to decide what is the best thing to do. And I appreciate your interest and your concern and your response to me. You've been very, very responsive. And I will wait for your decision.
Thank you, Ms. Stahlberg. We appreciate your participation in these very difficult times. We really, really do. Did Mr. Erskine wish to be heard?
Yep, I'm going to unmute him right now.
Okay.
He's good.
Mr. Erskine, would you like to, realizing we've already gone to the support, we're in the opposition, but you're speaking in support of the project, correct?
Yes, sir.
Could you proceed, please?
Yes, sir, Mr. Commissioner, members of the commission, I appreciate your time. We wish to be good stewards of this area. It's highly productive, as Mr. Stagg indicated. We've tried to work through this process, but we don't want to go in and have somebody else lease a very narrow area inside of our existing lease. That was the purpose behind this. This is all on bottom oyster culture. We do remove the seed oysters. This is a seed oyster area. We replace shells every year. So we do believe we are being good stewards of the river. We appreciate your favorable recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you. I should have asked, did any member of the commission have a question for Ms. Stahlberg? Did any member of the commission have a question for Mr. Erskine? Does any member of the commission have any further questions for Mr. Stagg? Seeing none or hearing none, the matter is before the commission.
James Minor, I move that we approve staff recommendations.
Motion made by Mr. Minor to approve staff recommendations. Is there a second?
I'll second. This is Dr. Neal.
Dr. Neal seconds. Any further discussion by members of the commission?
Yeah, I have a comment.
Oh, yes, sir. Please.
That was one of the nicest protestants I think we've heard from.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with you there, Mr. Zedrin, and I know you have heard a number of different folks during the course of your work. I could not agree anymore. We appreciate that. Further discussion. Mr. France? Mr. France?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Okay, now, how do you vote, sir?
Oh,
France?
Can you hear me now?
I can, sir, yes. How do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Tankard?
Aye.
Mr. Zedrin?
Aye.
Dr. Neal?
Aye.
Mr. Ballard?
Aye.
Mr. Minor?
Aye.
Ms. Rusk?
Aye.
Ms. Everett?
Ms. Everett seems to have disconnected. Here she is. Try her again.
Ms. Everett, how do you vote on the motion?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thanks to everyone for their participation. Again, in this difficult times, we understand how troublesome and cumbersome this can be, so we really do appreciate your participation. We thank you very, very much.